rain. Thank you for being here this morning. Beautiful October weather. All right, so we're in 2 Kings this morning, if you brought a Bible. And we will be at 2 Kings 4, starting at verse 32 is what I want to read. Going to do something unusual for you this morning after we pray. All right, the most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before the throne of grace in the name of Christ Jesus. That we can sit on a beautiful October morning by the seaside, and I often think of you, that you made your headquarters by the Sea of Galilee. And we just look out, and people will often say, how can you look at that and not believe in God? I have no earthly idea. But we certainly do, and we appreciate what you've done for us here, that you send the people to hear the word of God. As always, please remove me from this place that you would be heard. And anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And all that should be remembered, please have it be, that above all you be glorified. And the church edified and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. A young lady called from a radio station in Wilmington was going to come down and talk to me and about the church. Are you here? I thought this was a Sunday she would be here. Or maybe she heard enough about us and decided not to go. Maybe she'll come next week. So we're, 2 Kings is largely was 1 and 2 Kings was one book at one time, and they split it into two. And it covers a lot of things. Covers the ministry of Elijah and the ministry of Elisha, who followed him, who got a double blessing. And there are many, many miracles in 2 Kings. And it's strange when you read these Old Testament books about the prophets, you can understand why a lost man can't understand the scriptures and doesn't want to believe them. Because what these people did and the things that took place are just so amazing that now you just shake your head and say, well, that can't possibly be. Of course, they're still looking for green men in outer space, and they're spending millions of dollars listening for proof of that. They're willing to believe that, but they won't believe the factual accounts of Scripture. But here, Elijah has done many miracles, and then Elisha takes his place, and he performs miracles. And this one, where the Shunammite's son has died, she had prayed for a child and wanted a child, and finally he came. And then he died. And it's such a sad thing. In verse 32, Elisha has been notified. And it said, and when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and lay upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon the two of them and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We just want you to know, because we don't know nothing about no sneezes. We didn't say if you catch a cold, you'd be healed. I'm just telling you that God still works. And that you ought to know that. You turn to the book of Revelation, we'll give you the reason the world's in so much trouble, particularly the United States of America. And people will tell me, well, I can't find America in the scriptures. And of course, it isn't named, it didn't exist. But its condition has always been, and now we're suffering from this perennial thing. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Starting at verse 2, we will read in this section of Revelation, it's a message to the 7 churches. The 7 churches are examples of what's going to happen. It's prophecy as well as what was happening to them. where God has spoken to the seven churches and commended them and condemned them, all except one, for things that were happening within them. And those things are carried on today. And you will see when we start and tell you, Scripture has interpretation and then it has application. This isn't an interpretation of Scripture, it's an application of Scripture. But this is to the church at Ephesus, and chapter 2, verse 2 says, and these are the words, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them who are evil, and thou hast tried them who say they are apostles, and they're not, and hast found them to be liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. This was a warning to the people that they had done good works. They were doing good. But as things happen, as they get larger and things move on and get more familiar, we get more familiar with God and more familiar with what He does. And we lose our amazement. And God says, wait a minute, you have forgotten your first love. America started here, as we've talked before. On the beach, a couple of 300 miles up the street, with the purpose of religious freedom. That's what it was all about. That's why they came. They were trying to escape and get out from under the heel of a system that wouldn't even let them read the Bible or have a Bible. Didn't believe it as the evangelical Christian does, and these people were coming here to escape that. They wanted to find a place where they would be free to worship God as they should, in the way that He had taught them to do, and to get out from under that persecution. And America began because people were seeking religious freedom. Now the cry in the halls of Congress and everywhere else is church and state separation. And they say that it's in our Constitution that that's stated, that there should be a separation between church and state. If you bring me a copy of that and underline it and show it to me, I'll give you $1,000. It isn't there. It's that the state shall not establish a state religion, and I'm all for that. Because then they have a state prayer, which would leave out God, Jesus, and anybody else that knew Him. The message given would be so weak, it'd be no use to hold it. You'd do better off to practice your pudding. Nobody wants that. We just want to be free to seek God and His will and to live under His commands. That's why America was started. Now, this wasn't 2,000 years ago, as we talk about Jesus and we talk about the Christmas program that y'all are getting ready and going to have the float and all that. And those we remember every year, seeing at Bethlehem and the things that took place. And that's a couple of thousand years old. I'm not talking about a couple of thousand years. I'm talking about a lousy 200. 200 years to start. Where my mother is from in England, in Watford, England, there are roofs on houses that are 200 years old. Not a long time. But in 200 years, we have succeeded in coming here to seek the freedom of religion, to be able to love God and worship Him. And He blessed this nation above any other, just the simple location of it for years. Was wonderful. Have you ever thought about it? Today you can't talk to young people about that because they can't find America on a map. Look where he put the thing. Below Alaska in the snow, and you can't get to us east and west, and you can't get to us from the south. Protected, just naturally a protected country. Until now, we never worried about being attacked by anybody. Other than the Bahama inner tube crowd, we didn't expect an invasion. You couldn't come and get us. Now that's over. But we were protected by God for his purpose of spreading the gospel. You see, the reason America prospered as it did so quickly and for so long was it took the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and sent missionaries and built churches and hospitals and schools and honored God for years, and he blessed that. That's why. England used to do the same thing, and he blessed them. There was a time when the sun did not set on the English Empire. Around the world somewhere, they owned countries, places. Until 1948, when they had the opportunity to take in the Jews to keep Hitler from killing them, and wouldn't take them in. Hitler wanted $2 a head to the Jews. All he had to do was pay $2, two lousy dollars a head. And they said, no. You can mark that day and go back and read your history of England and watch their demise to where today they own that little island called England. Second-rate nation. Isn't that sad? People say, why? That's why. Because thou hast left thy first love. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that God ever put on the face of the earth, had a big tabernacle in London, and in the horse and buggy days, no paved streets, 5,000 people would be at his Sunday night service. 5,000. Walked. Came by horseback. Came in horse-drawn carriages, whether it was always raining in England, but if it was cold, rainy, they came. Today, his church still stands, and they consider a crowd of 25 a good day. There are about as many mosques in London now as there are churches. You left your first love. Well, that can't happen to America. It can't. There are more mosques in America right now than there are Assembly of God churches. Right now. Can't happen here. It can't. We have left our first love. We used to love God so much, it was on everybody's mind. Go back and read the early presidents, what they say about the scripture and what they say about God. This was a God-fearing nation. A family was ashamed, or a man was ashamed, if Sunday morning caught him at home. He'd go to church and maybe wouldn't even be a believer, but he would go just to save face and not be known openly as an unbeliever. They've always been atheists, always will be. But they stayed in the closet. Nobody wanted to be known as that. Today it's a proud organization. They did saw their leader in half and put her in a 55-gallon drum and left with the millions of dollars they collected, but other than that, they're pretty nice people. I mean, how in the world can anybody follow something like that and consider themselves good, godly, or moral? Well, I mean, it's the world, a spirit of insanity has come over the world. Obviously, it's promoted by Satan. And the whole world, if you've noticed, has gone crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely insane, the things that are going on. The inmates are running the asylum. We're voting for it. I can't believe they'd invite that idiot from Iraq over here, Iran, wherever he's from, put him in the UN to stand up and curse America, its president, and what we stand for. Who openly deny the Holocaust never happened. This isn't done in secret. He did it at a UN conference. Why did a country who was built on the love of God and His Word, did not somebody stand up and say, that's a lie, and I'm calling you on it, and I'm calling you on it now, and I'm calling you on it before the whole world? It did happen. We have pictures. You are a liar. Prove what you just said. Why didn't that happen? Well, that wouldn't be politically correct. I'm not looking forward to dying by political correctness. I doubt that you are. When we had the Olympics in Germany, Jesse Owens went over and made Hitler a liar. We had a fellow who carried the American flag who was a fireman. And you know how they have that big parade where the different nations come by and they bring their flag, represent them, and one of the better people, or one that vote on to have the honor of carrying their country's flag, he's right at the front. And this fireman had been given that honor. And when they came to the reviewing stand, everybody is supposed to dip their flag and all that. He didn't dip his. They asked him why. He said, I'm an American. We don't dip our flag to anybody. And I tune in TV and see people spitting on and tearing, marching upon and burning the American flag. I expect it in Iran and Iraq and Korea and anywhere else in the world, but I do not expect it in America. Where are the good people when that happens? Well, that's freedom of speech, they call it now. I didn't hear anything. I just saw the flag go up in blink. That's freedom of expression now. You see, it's politically correct. You can do what you want to do. No, you can't. The Lord God Almighty is, was, and always will be in charge. And you will be accountable for what you do against Him. Whether Congress, the Senate, the President, or everybody else doesn't like it, you will give an account for you. Sat and read the article about my friend Ed Marshall, killed, gone, dead. Two idiots shot him over $50. Read that. Think about poor little Sandra now without a husband. Because some fool has got to take drugs, need $50 more, and shoot him. Go in and take his life. Oh, they've got him in jail now, thank God. They caught him. But it'll be years before anything happens. Even if they're given the death sentence, it'll be multiplied years before anything happens. One's younger than the other, and he'll probably be let off, although he took a man's life. And the idiots of the ACLU and those of their ilk say, well, killing them won't bring him back. Nobody said it would. Well, we have the statistics, and it doesn't prevent anybody else from doing that by taking his life. We didn't think it would. We were just giving punishment for due cause according to Scripture. And I tell you, one that won't kill again is him. And please don't tell me that the fear of pain doesn't prevent you from doing things. I know better. We got a lot of them. Got some of them down here make the living selling drugs. Don't know any better. Left their first love. They know better. They just want the money. We have too many people in high places. Saw a man interviewed on television. He said, I was on the plane that landed in Mexico. The army surrounded the plane. The grandson of the president of Mexico at the time got on the plane. He was given $1 million. He walked off the plane and the plane went on. It wasn't because they were delivering tomatoes. Too many people, too much money. And don't think anybody in high places is immune to taking bribes. Don't do it. Got friends who are in prison. You're not allowed to have a cell phone in prison. They had a raid at his prison the other day, other week. Small prison. Found 78 cell phones. Now, there's only one way for them to get in there. And that is for the people guarding them to sell them to them. Now, here's people enforcing the law, breaking the law to people who are in because they broke the law. I told you it was crazy. Why is that put up with? Somebody's getting paid. Somebody has left their first love. It used to be worship service. It was held Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and people say, well, y'all are just, you know, churching us to death. Nobody means to do that, but you see, when you love God and you begin to understand His Word, you can't hear enough. People complain about preachers who preach too long. I never heard a good one that preached too long. I always wanted to hear more. I'd sit in the tent and listen to my daddy preach for 2 hours and say, I know some of you have to go to work or have other commitments. If you want to leave now, you feel free to. Don't be embarrassed to. But I've got another hour on this subject before I'll be through, and not a soul would stir. Wasn't out of fear. They love God and want to know more about Him. But you see now, if you go past 12 o'clock and start at 11, the deacons get to looking at their watches. And they'll have a word with the pastor. We think that maybe you are preaching too long. No, in most cases, I'm glad you shut him up. He didn't have nothing to say anyway. Left the first look. Did you notice when we were coming up, us old folks, Sunday, my daddy would have beat me to death if he'd have caught me with a football or basketball or he'd have wore me out. You didn't do that on Sunday. Now, we set aside Sunday to the Christian. There's no day different than any others, by the way. I don't want to shock you from what you were brought up to hear. To a Christian, every day is God's day. There's no reason for a Christian to act any different on Sunday than he does on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It'll be the same. We simply get together and assemble on Sunday because the apostles did after Jesus was resurrected. It changed. They were all Jewish. They met on Saturday, the Sabbath. And now we meet on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. Every time we meet on Sunday, or any church of the Lord Jesus Christ meets to worship Him on Sunday, they are declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you're declaring when you show up here. You want people to know that indeed He arose. We hadn't left our first love. So we want to be here on Sunday. We want to be in church with somebody who loves God and loves that book and believes it, preaches the gospel. We want to be under that on Sunday. Not because we have to. You don't get quality points in heaven for being here. It should be because, gee, I like that. I need to get back and hear more about that. I didn't say hear more for me. I said hear more about that. Because when you get saved and you were lost and now you found, and as our friend here was blind, ask him what he would love to do if he could see this morning. How wonderful that would be. It wouldn't just be, hey, by the way, I can see now. You couldn't keep him still. He'd jump up and run, want to hug everybody and shake your hand and look into your face and look at the colors. Would he not? Because he understands what darkness and light is now. And when a man who's lost and undone, we got one here, John gave the CDs. I told his story for him, but that man, he's here today. John gave him some CDs and he began to listen and he said, you got more of them? John said, I got 105. How many you want? So he took 10 and got to listen to them. And then he went down to the revival at his church and found the Lord and came out. And John was waiting on him with 10 more outside. He drove all the way down here this morning from Raleigh to be here in this service. So I want to know more. I want to see those people. Cared enough to send the word of God to me when I was in darkness and now I'm in light. Now see, he will see this morning a closer walk with God than somebody's been saved 50 years. Known people who announced they got saved in the service this morning. Just the preacher said to tell somebody, so I'm telling you, and I'm all excited. And their response was, well, I know I was too, but you'll get over that. And you'll be like the rest of us. What a sad testimony. I kind of like the Pentecostals. I like them rolling in the floor and swinging on chandeliers. I understand that. I was lost and got found. I understand that. See, do you understand real happiness? You have to be sad. I pity the rich kid that all he did was have riches all his life and grow up to be richer. I pity him. He missed life. He don't know about just eating canned goods. He couldn't get the cellophane off a piece of a bologna to give him an hour. He'd probably want to use a knife and fork. You do it with your teeth if you're here. Feel sorry for them, don't you? But a man who's lost and gets found. He's blind and now sees. Who's crippled like Farley and now walks. How do you get over that? People say, well, how do you, it's God you talk about. How do you know God loves you? Look over here in this chair. You need no anything else? Why would God send that lady to me if he didn't love me? He gave his son for me. She gave her son to me. Don't even talk about God not loving me. Don't even discuss it. Well, I don't believe he's a God. Well, the God you're talking about called you a fool, and I agree with him. He's already named you. No use to argue with you. You don't argue with a fool. I used to teach whole sales seminars. I've trained 10,000 salesmen face to face. They'd all tell me, you don't take any prisoners, do you? And I said, no. You can either buy or throw me out of the house. We're going to do one or two. There's going to be no middle ground. Preach the same way. Sometimes you're hard on people. I'm not hard on anybody. You'd rather hear me yell at you or go to hell. Pick one. I'm not hard on you. I didn't leave my first love. Not going to. How can a man not love God? How can a man in America not love God? How can you wake up over here knowing 25,000 children starved to death last night in the world and not love God? I don't even understand that, do you? If you woke up with a sandwich in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof over your head, you're in the top 5% of the world. Don't ever forget it. Top 5% of the world. Just because you woke up here this morning. I get angry with the prosperity gospels. What is it you wanted? He's already given you everything. So sin asks for more than what you and I have. Absolute sin. For us to expect God to give us anything else. Time for us to give back, ain't it? Absolutely. So he said, you left your first love. We left the sanctity of marriage in America. I'm at the verge of, and I think I'm going to quit marrying people. Not that I'm against marriage, it's that I'm tired of the disrespect when I hold a religious ceremony to marry people in the sight of God and 15 people show up with a Budweiser to listen. I've already asked them on the telephone, are you folks Christian? And they both say yeah. I didn't explain it, evidently. Christians don't have religious services where they're about a half drunk before you get there. It's an insult to me standing there as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ to gather around with you Budweiser. Now we sign documents before we get married. All that did was show doubt before you got married. If you didn't love him or her, you shouldn't have needed a document. You shouldn't have been getting married. If you can't trust anybody that much, what you gonna do when they got the hair curlers in the hair, the cold cream on? Cut the light on and you see who they really are. Realize you've taken a vow to be with them for life. But we left that. We left that. Don't mean anything to anybody. Why? Did you understand that I tell people when I do marry them that God instituted marriage before he did the church, for heaven's sake, for which he gave his life. Well, we just grew apart. No, you a dog and a cat, and you decided to join up one with another. There's going to be problems when dogs and cats live together. Women think the left side of the brain, men think with the right. My wife's idea of cleaning up is vacuuming, washing the bed clothes, dusting, waxing, make sure everything's picked up, all the clothes hang up in the same direction, shoes under the bed are all facing the same thing. My idea of cleaning up is nobody's dead on the floor. So Ann will say, when you gonna clean your room? I said, did you walk in there? She said, yeah. I said, case closed. Evidently, it's clean enough to walk in. That's all I wanted to do in there. We think different. And when you take that obligation on, then you got to expect some differences. Right? Politics is not the compromise, the art of compromise. Marriage is. Give up some things. Take on some things. Decide some things. Agree on some things. We gave up. We left our love of morality. I was thinking about Charlie. Charlie's with us this morning. Charlie's house. He built those beautiful condos in Greenville. Bobby, you remember where the Cannons were up at North Main, across from Nick's Diner. They built those beautiful condos there. I was asking Charlie, I said, Charlie, where is 400 North Main? I'm from Greenville. What do you see? He said, well, the cemetery is behind us. I was, all right. Calhoun Tower is in front of you. He said, yeah, they don't call it that now. I said, that's the name, because that building was built on the spot of the house that we moved into when I went to Greenville as a fourth grader. We live right across the street from each other. And I would think about the riding my bicycle down Main Street to McPherson Park, they call it. We call it City Park. Down that hill, and I rode up that hill not long ago, and it wasn't much of a hill in my car. But when you're in the fourth grade, it was a pretty good tug. I remember riding that bicycle with down to the park and playing ball, and if it was summer, you tell your mother, I'll see you at dark. Well, no problem. Now, because of immoral people seeking children to abuse, you can't go to that park at night. Let alone can the kids go. You see, we left our first love. Had you abused me as a child and my daddy found out about it, the abuser would do well to call the police and get some protection. Well, he'd have been right over there. We left decency, didn't we? Folks who wrote the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the things we go by, and they never thought we would lose our decency. They didn't even take that into consideration. That's why they can get all those weird interpretations from them today. Well, what they really meant was trust God, love God, go by His word, run your country this way, and it will go forward. Stop that, and it will go backward. That's what they really meant. But we left decency, didn't we? Have you seen the Halloween costumes for the kids this year? For the little girls? They're dressing them up like a bunch of street whores. Only word for it. 4 and 5 years old, bunch of lipstick on and powder and ear, the whole thing. And they look like a bunch of midget street whores. And they're 7 and 8 and 9. We left decency. Do you know the average age of the average hooker on the streets of America is 13? Just left decency. Nobody thought we'd leave decency. You can go out and sit in a restaurant here, nice restaurants in town, and hear people using language I only heard in the pool room when somebody lost a lot of money. Ann gets in a fight about how many times she goes out to eat. You got where you got can't take her. Somebody will start that, and she yells, "You gonna eat with that filthy mouth?" And then I got to get in it, right? Just common, just filthy language. We left decency. The little things. I'll open the door for young ladies coming. I'm just brought up to do that. That's just what you do. I start in a restaurant or a store and see the lady come, I'll open my door. Those above 50 smile and say, thank you, appreciate that. And those under don't say a word. They just keep walking. I always yell at them, the word is thank you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See? We left our decency. Should do that, I guess. Bah. 25 years ago, I happened to be in California on Thanksgiving. I'm staying at Holiday Inn there, and a beautiful big restaurant. And I said, well, you know, Thanksgiving, I'll go in there. have my Thanksgiving dinner by myself. And I sit down, and I know this ain't going to be a religious service when the wine menu was four times as thick as the eating menu. The 300 variations of wine up in the Napa Valley. And so I'm ordering my food and waiting and just looking, and must have been 400, 500 people in a big restaurant, big dining room, and they're eating. I said, I'm going to see how many of these people say the blessing before they eat. None. Maybe it's not a regular habit with them, but it's Thanksgiving Day. They've changed that to what? Turkey Day. I ain't going to heaven with turkeys. We'll give thanks to God for taking me there. You sit down at a restaurant now. In the South, we have more of it than up there where the North. But we're more gospel and country or country church still oriented, and it's not strange to see people bow the head and say the blessing out loud in a restaurant here. But it'll be very few. Isn't that sad? 25,000 children starved to death last night. You can't thank God for a plate of food. My little mother, of course, she went to be with the Lord to bug him personally about me at 90-something. Visit with her up where my brother lived, up in New York State. Say, honey, eat your supper. You're not eating. She said, I think about those kids all over the world who'd give anything for this plate of food. They hadn't seen this much food this week, and I'm too ashamed to eat it. And I said, that's somebody that loves God. Last time I saw a 4'11" curled up in the bed with little knees up under her chin. She's 2'6". Had a big blue Bible on her knees. You know, read. So what you reading, honey? She said the 23rd Psalm. My mama knew a Bible. She said, and the 21st, 22nd. 24. Said they all go together, you know. It's the good shepherd and the great shepherd explained it all to me better than I ever heard a preacher preach on. And I said, there's somebody that loves God. There's somebody that loves God. There's somebody who did not leave her first love. You got memories that you see people like that and go by and see the old people. I remember walking at Tabernacle Baptist Church a few years ago, and old Dr. Seitler, who was known as Mr. Fundamentalism, 75 years old, oldest active Baptist pastor in the fundamental movement alive. And walking down the hall with him, he said, Brother Greenway, I'm getting a little age on me. I said, oh, you all right, Doc? He said, well, I'm going to stand that pulpit as long as I can hold thought. As long as I can keep my thought in line, I'm going to stay in the pulpit. Some of them worried about me. I said, you stay in that pulpit as long as you got a breath. I'll come to hear you breathe. Man loves God much as you do. Bright Spot Hour. Little old radio program like ours started out. He didn't ask anybody to send a dime. It grew to the point that the Bright Spot Hour was like $20,000 a month. Never asked for a dime. but by the end of every month, $20,000 would be in there to pay it. He'd get me mixed up with my daddy and see me come and say, "Hey, Dr. Greenway," and I'd say, "Hey, Dr. Seitler," and just let it go. I knew what he meant. I knew who he was thinking of. Keep it going. Keep the word going. Don't lose your love. Don't leave your first love. I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it. Don't leave your first love. I can see that old man coming into Greenville. They bought him a Cadillac, wanted to buy a new one. He wouldn't have it. Said, "This one still cranks. When it don't crank, we'll get another one." And he'd go hold a revival in churches around North Carolina and Georgia. And Monday night of his revival, after he'd been there Sunday and Sunday night, he'd say, "Now, if you intend to come Monday night, bring a loaf of bread with you or don't come." "And your ticket to come Monday night is a loaf of bread." "That I run an orphanage in Greenville, and those kids need bread. And when I go back, I'm going to have a car full. You're going to come this revival, you bring a loaf of bread." I've seen him come late into Greenville. You could barely see him in the car for bread. Stuck in that car. See, keep it going. I said, "Doc, I don't know much about bookkeeping and accounting and all that kind of stuff. What do you do when you run a church? Do you, and how do you handle that?" He said, "It's very simple. You take up the money on Sunday and you're broke Monday afternoon." I said, "What?" He said, "Take up the money Sunday and it's gone by Monday afternoon. You pay your radio, you pay your missionaries, you take care of that, and you'll have more next Sunday." Sound pretty simple. If you hadn't left your first love. I'm no Dr. Seitler, but I said, "You know, I'm going to try that, because sure as I pass a plate down here, all these jitterbugs are going to say, 'Well, he's down there for the money.'" I said, "Sure as I ask in my footboard." That's their excuse for not coming, and they just down there for the money. So I started putting that briefcase out right over there. Sometimes I could even pay for that hamburger that Water Gold sell. Oftentimes there was $3 or $4 enough to get gas to go home. We got advice from those who don't love God that said, "Man, won't you pass a plate and tell them people to help you?" I said, "God knows I need help. He'll send it." I said, "You crazy?" I said, "We'll see." They walk in, I'm in a Mercedes. I didn't buy it. It was given to me. See? I live in a house with no rent. Man, I didn't even know. Came to a prayer meeting and they told him we needed to live in a better place. Obviously, we couldn't have been in a worse one. He said, "I'm building 600 by the airport. Tell man pick him one out, he can live till he dies." I've seen him twice in my life. Tell me, you better get on somebody else about there not being a God. Lost, dying, going to hell. Read his gospel, now I'm alive, happy, and going to hell. Don't tell me there ain't a God. Devil come, try to kill my wife 2 years ago. Y'all prayed. Got on the prayer chain, they all prayed. College of Charleston said, "Send her home to die. We don't know what's wrong with her. We can't figure it out." Well, then don't send me the bill. I mean, you know, if I buy ice cream cone on ice cream, don't you? So we sent her to Duke. He said, "We don't know either. Go home and die like they told you to." No, we ain't gonna do that. "Well, all you can do is pray." No, what we can do is pray. Not all we can do. Yes, it says, mean as ever. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ed Tindall sitting right back at the back. Said, I've been in church all my life. I know absolutely nothing about Jesus or the Bible. I'm getting old. Aren't you a preacher? Yeah. Would you tell me about him? I said, let's go. And we got forward to back to the Boulevard Grill. And Water Dog hustled us into coming over here because he thought some of them would drink. And so we started back there with five. The Water Dog had to come because he was working. H. Lee had to come to watch him, so that was another one we got. So we built up there to 7-8 people real quick. And then God sent you. How else did you get here? Read Dad in the paper, did you? Hear about us on the radio? You see me on TV? How did you get here? God sent you, didn't he? And there you sit. Here we go. And we're not going to leave our first love. I don't care what the world does, which direction it goes, and how insane they go. We're going to stay with our first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just Thanksgiving, we're going to thank him every day for what he did for us. So if you know some sad folks, you know some lost folks, know some folks that are stupid enough to believe there's no God, to think Christians are a bunch of sissies, bring them with you. And let them see you. Let them understand what loving somebody you don't even know their name is all about. Let them feel, see, and touch, and hear the word of God. Let them fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and never leave their first love. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here, and thank you that you loved us first before we loved you. That you loved us when we hated you, that you loved us when we willfully sinned against you. And you sent your son to die for us. You loved us so much when we hated you. We thank you so much that you showed us what complete love was, that you manifested yourself in the flesh of man, led a sinless life, let men take it from you on a cruel cross, paid a debt you didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And we have nothing to give in return except to love you. Thank you for allowing us that privilege. Thank you for those who know you here, and if there be one who doesn't know you, that today they'll stop and consider every day that goes by, I'm a step closer to the grave. And it's no use fooling myself. Death will visit my house one day, and it's coming for me. Then what? And Lord, have them come and listen, and have them read your word and find out really who you are and what real love is. And then they'll never, never leave you. As you said, you'd never leave them. Be with us the rest of the day, the rest of the week, as we go about our daily chores and business and give out the crosses and invite people to church and keep the smile on the face so people will wonder what we've been up to and ask. And we can tell them, well, I fell in love. Let me tell you about it. And then we can tell them about you. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, and your salvation. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.